It is Thursday, the 29th of January, 2015. This is episode 235 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode. I'm Chris, joined as ever by Ian. Hello.
Good evening, Christopher. How's the snow?
Non-existent down here. Been a nice, sunny, crisp day. How about you?
A couple of inches.
How about the snow?
I told you, don't tell people I'm naked. And it's cold, so that's why.
If I have to put up with it, they have to put up with it. It's fine.
No, it's fine. Just a bit slippy slidey this morning.
Yep, so we were due some snow between 6 and 7, and it has not materialised. There we go. Wonderful. That's all about the weather. How very British. Let's get on with the news. In fact, let's get on with some moaning, shall we? Actually, no, because the
Make
Lords...
Make up your mind, man.
Yeah, okay, sorry. It's been a bad day. The Lords have rejected the latest sort of reincarnation of the Snooper Charter, and they... After some people were telling, you know, someone took the floor and pretty much said, the whole terrorists are due to WhatsApp and other stuff, which I don't understand. Other people came out and said no. And quite frankly, the fact that they've put these really last minute changes before trying to shove it through is just ridiculous. It's a kind of breach of parliamentary process and is awful. And no, we're not going to sign off on this. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Yes, so well done, the Lords have voted against it. Well done, people like Martha Lane Fox who stood up and said you need to listen to people about, you know, their privacy concerns. And yes, terrorism's a real threat, but it doesn't mean you can just carte blanche, do all this stuff. Boo, Lord King of Bridgewater, former Defence Minister, who, and I quote, the other day, somebody tried to explain to me what WhatsApp is. Somebody tried to explain to me about Snapchat. But, my Lords, I don't know about them. What is absolutely clear is that the terrorists and jihadists do.
I mean, the thing is, it bugs me that, you know, you don't have that knowledge in there, so they need to go and get better on that. But
well, it bugs me that a lot of these guys in the Lords just shouldn't be there.
What isn't clear to us is, you know, he's saying that he's got that knowledge that, you know, that they are using WhatsApp and Snapchat. So there clearly is an issue. I mean, I'm taking a devil's advocate standpoint. So how do we get around that without disrupting the rights of everyone else? That's the balancing act, right? Or do you just accept that everyone has the right to be silent, you know, and anonymous, including the terrorist?
To be honest, I think whatever they put in is just going to be a work trend.
Of course, it is.
I don't see what doing this is going to achieve. So yes, it might make it slightly easier. You might catch maybe some naive conversations, but you know, they'll just move on to something else.
Yeah, that's it. It's another service. So I mean, as we talked about last week, it's very, very difficult to find a way out of what they're trying to say without just saying, well, it's a specific service they're going to attack. Well, if you attack a specific service, I mean, when I say attack, I mean, you know, take away its security. You know, if you take away specific servers, they'll just move to the next one, and the next one will pop up, and then eventually it will go to a network that's you know, on the dark web, so it's not even visible. So all those, yeah, it's a very difficult situation, but it would be good to actually have some people trying to get knowledge within, you know, when they're debating these things, it'd be good for them to hear, I know exactly what WhatsApp is, and I know exactly what Snapchat is, I know what they are, and I know how we can solve this. That's the what you want to hear, not
or. If they don't have that knowledge, ask, you know, get somebody there that can actually explain in clear English what these applications are. Mm-hmm. I just think it's ridiculous because you're relying on, you know, somebody being there that actually knows what they're talking about. And if you look at the way the Lords is made up, that is not always the case.
No, but then it's not the case in the government either. And sure, they have advisors, but these topics are hard and they're difficult and they're almost impossible to solve. So they have to spend time doing what politicians should be doing, which is finding out what the solutions are, not, you know, not just broad sweeping statements.
Anyway, the good thing is, for the moment, it's been knocked back.
It's been knocked back, but I think that's probably their last opportunity to knock it back, unfortunately. So next time, I think it can just be railroaded through, which is what will happen. Apple has been announcing the pretty much Smaug, and it is sat on the biggest pile of money ever. So last quarter, they broke all records, basically. So they made 18 billion profit in a quarter. They sold how many iPhones?
74.5 million iPhones.
And that was the equivalent of 34,000 iPhones every hour for 24 hours a day of every day of that quarter, for 3 months, basically.
And the one because that is staggering. But the one that gets me is that in the last 3 months, more than 1% of the world population bought an iPhone, which is like ridiculous.
And I think I've mentioned it before that we hear these numbers and they're just unbelievable. This properly made the news, as far as, you know, even made people's, you know, incredulous news, their feeds in Facebook, and people saying, you know, how can a company, you know, own, you know, be bigger than a country? It's not allowed. I mean, like I've said it before, I feel uncomfortable by the fact that this is all profit. This is a company. They've paid all their, you know, bills. They've done all their product development, all those kind of things. This is just money it's kind of in excess of the resources being used, and it's pretty uncomfortable to look at it, really.
Yeah, iCloud still doesn't work.
I know. So, what are they going to spend it on?
Well, Dropbox. Just do it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, whatever you feel about it, it's still pretty amazing that this technology firm and what they've done, and quite just how much cash they're, even with all the investment that they, you know, put in there, the actual pile of cash that they've got is pretty mind-boggling.
I didn't like, there were some comments, oh, they're too big to fail. It's like, no, that's not true. Nobody's too big to fail. We've got BlackBerries and you look at other ones. And actually, part of me wants them to have a bit of a kicking, you know, because I do think they've been coasting in certain areas, and things aren't as good as they used to be. You know, I look in the Mac and things aren't as good as they used to be. I look at the reliability of software isn't as good as it used to be. And that's a bit I don't like. Yeah. Yes, it's fantastic, but...
Interestingly, also, their iPad sales have dropped. So it's almost like they've got product self-mutilation. I don't know what they call it, where, you know, the iPad, the large iPhone is probably eating into some of the, you know, iPad
And I think there's a bit sales. Of that, but... But people more regularly replace their phones than they do some, because a lot of people replace laptops with that tablet. And I think it's got more legs.
I don't think we're seeing the end of anything like iPads. No, I just think, but I think people are more willing now to use the slightly smaller form factor of the phone, especially when the phones are growing so much.
Agreed. You know, but I think
overall sales are still bigger.
Chance are that somebody would hold on to their iPad 3-4 years.
Yes, absolutely. And nothing's come out yet that's really been a must-have next iPad. Because they've all been the same. They pretty much all run the same software. You get a slightly higher resolution, basically, and a bit more performant. But when the games are optimized for all sorts of different iPads, it doesn't really make any difference. So,
And it seems to have got to a level where it's like yes, faster, but everything's fast enough. You know, my year-and-a-half-old iPad is...
I've got an older one than that. I think it's probably 2 years old now, maybe even three. And it's still fine.
Although, and interestingly, my 2.5-year-old Nexus is an absolute dog of a dog.
Didn't keep up, did it?
Finally, I got Lollipop last week. It's taken months, and it's like.
But different philosophy, I'd say. I'd say they're designed to be replaced, right?
But it's still quite disappointing when you use it. You're just like, oh, what a turd.
Not worth it. Yeah.
No, it's gutting.
Parents just bought an iPad Air, and MacBook Air. Is that the one? Is that one thinking? Yeah, that's right. Anyway, they've just done that.
Very nice.
There you go. So they're adding to the profits. Gmail. You can now send money.
Send money to me. Ian@gmail.com. Give me all your money.
So basically now you will have an option to send money as an attachment, and that person doesn't need to have a Gmail account, but the money will just sit there waiting for them, a bit like PayPal used to be. That's kind of how PayPal started up, and then kind of eventually gets traction. And you'll need to, if you receive one of these emails, you will have to set up a Google Wallet to be able to get that money, and it can sit there for either Google Play, or you can actually transfer it to your bank account. So that's all happened. Whoop. Microsoft has launched Outlook for iOS and Android in another, you know, this statement of intent, almost, that they're keeping this real momentum going. They have effectively rebranded the company product that they bought, was it last year?
Yeah, so, and I had to go and check this because I was reading the article. It's come out today. I've not had a chance to try it. And it said last December. And I was thinking, is that 2013 last December? But no, a month ago.
And it sounds like that they have put their ribbon on. Of course they have. And that's pretty much it. So basically they did buy a product that was exactly what they wanted. And again, it's very, this new Microsoft is, let's get it out there. Let's put it, you know, put a bit of branding in it and then let's roll with it because it's good enough as it is. And that's what it's obviously they'll probably adapt it going forward. But let's get it to the market. And apparently very nice.
It doesn't just support like Office 365 and Exchange and Outlook.com. It also supports Yahoo Mail and Gmail. And I saw lots of tweets today. And the one I liked the most was that in this new world, Microsoft has launched the best Gmail client for iOS, which if you go back 2 years ago, would have been unheard of.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know, why would they help this rival product? Yeah. Yeah.
But seemingly it's actually a very, very good mail client. So I'm going to give it I've tried a couple other ones. You know how like Inbox came out and mm-hmm. Was it Mailbox was another one. And there's been, I guess the last year there was lots of action around mail. I've just stuck with Apple Mail. I guess I don't get the volume that I need all this triaging and going through mails. And I put them on and try them and think, yeah, that's nice enough, but nothing's really made me stick. I still just use mail and it works.
I can't see a reason for me to move away from my Gmail, you know, apps and stuff. And they work very well, seeing as I am a Gmail client. But yeah, interesting enough to want to download it. And say, it sounds like they bought a complete product and have actually just put it out to market under their own brand. So great. Also, Office for Android has come out now. So they were in preview. They had quite a good success level in that preview, got enough people signed up that they could get to the bottom of it. And again, another quick turnaround. They're now releasing that out to everyone for download banks basically,
and same as the iPad, same features, same code base, pricing's the same, so it's free. You can do it, you can create and edit on them. Originally you couldn't on the iPad, and then they changed it to say, well, you can, but things are locked a little bit.
Interesting that they could use the same code base. I took that as an interesting statement, because at one point that was obviously frowned upon by Apple, but I think more and more that everything's coming together again, where app developers can push out to these different platforms. They've figured out the tools now to get it all sorted.
Yeah, and I had a couple of kind of longest train journeys with work, and I actually decided don't take the laptop. Let's do PowerPoint on the iPad and give it an actual go, because it was only it's £4 a month,
mm-hmm.
and it actually worked really well.
Yeah, good.
So.
Good for them. Twitter is launching video uploads now and also group DMs. They're obviously trying to fill the gap between themselves and more modern apps like WhatsApp, and try not to also eat up Vine. So the videos you can put into your timeline are actually 30 seconds long. They don't loop. So they're deliberately not being Vine, but still short enough that they kind of think that it fits in with the Twitter philosophy, you know, quick going down your timeline. And I agree. I don't think you're going to use Twitter to watch a, you know, half-hour documentary, for example.
No.
And probably a good move. So, and also group DMing, so you can actually have group chat where you can send images and all those kind of between you as a private chatting rather than in the open Twitter sphere.
It always amazed me that Twitter had DM for so long and just never took advantage of it.
Well, I wonder whether, you know, the underlying technologies were such that it was so restricted that it, you know, to be that lightning fast across that massive base.
And it must have been. There must have been something there, because it took so long, remember, to actually say, by the way, you can actually go and see your old, you know, tweets and search through them all and all
that. To get right all back in the archive. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was something about DM, because even like a month ago, I think over the last 6 months, they disabled links in DMs. Right. I couldn't send you a link. And it was like, what the hell? There must have been something fundamentally wrong somewhere. So I think it's good to see it, because it is one of the kind of easy ways of doing it. You know, if I wanted to do a little group chat, why do I need to put a WhatsApp or a Facebook Messenger on?
Yeah, yeah, it feels ridiculous. So it's just, it's catching up now. The first two features that I actually think, they're good moves.
And they're starting to move. They're moving more quickly. The Twitter app on iOS, I have tried it on Android. And iOS have started that kind of discovery thing of while you're away is there. Yep. So I actually can see, if I log on, I can see that the only bit I'm missing is sync. I still like Tweetbot for its mutes and its sync. I think if sync was on the Twitter client, I would be more tempted to actually give it a go because there's some nice discovery things in there, except it keeps on discovering Daily Mail things. And it's like, I don't really want that, thanks.
I know. Yes. BBC Taster, they've released a new area of their website. So bbc.co.uk/taster. And basically it is what they're calling a technology incubator. So basically little projects, little ideas they're having, little concepts and philosophies that aren't meant for kind of broadcast on TV, they are putting onto their website, and you can go and experience them and all sorts of different things. So they may be delving into their archive. So there was one called Your Story, which basically aligns your birthday and then all the events that happened as time goes on through the years, and how old you were at the time. So there's just little things like that. A lot of them look like throwaways. They're around for about 3 months to see whether they gain traction, and then they'll probably just disappear off. It's BBC. We like things they do.
And I think it's a good way of, I mean, it's obviously something, it's, if you look at a lot of the things in the kind of the app world over the last sort of 5-6 years, it's, some things are kind of obvious and you could have predicted them. Others really haven't been. You know, there's been a few things we've totally poo-pooed and thought, what, who's going to use that? And they've just blown. So I think this is a good way to try. AOL's doing something similar. They've got a little app incubator. So the guys that used to run Engadget and Gadget are now running that. And they're just basically every sort of 6-8 weeks throwing out apps and seeing what sticks. And if one sticks, then they'll put one into it. If it doesn't, then they'll just kill it.
So, you know, we saw this happen with the Google empire, but they've now, you know, moved away from that, haven't they?
Yeah.
So these public sort of public incubators didn't seem to work for Google in the end because it just made their whole product range unwieldy. Anyway, we'll see. These things always launch with a bang. Whether they'll gain anyone going back to them after this initial launch, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's going to be on my everyday list, but you never know until you try it.
I guess what I'm hoping for is that you're kind of relying on the people you follow on, probably more for me, Twitter, because there's a few BBC folk in there. That will ping,
oh, there's a new taster and it does a funky thing. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where I won't be, unless there was something on their homepage saying try this, and maybe they will do that for some of the
you'd
more
thought
popular
they should
ones.
Do eventually.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, the first iPlayer only film has been released, so not meant for generic broadcast, just on the iPlayer, and it's a sort of a documentary about Afghanistan, and the direction they've taken is my initial reaction was, why do it only for iPlayer? But I guess this is the new philosophy, because they are looking to take BBC Three iPlayer only, and obviously looking to ways to continue to broadcast things, but on a sort of a lower budget, basically. And by all accounts, they're saying it's an interesting documentary to watch.
Yeah, it still feels like there's an awful big market that's not going to have the chance to see it. But then there's a whole load of stats that said the BBC Three programmes, the majority of people are watching it online rather than via iPlayer rather than actually on TV.
So it's a kind of move to that more Netflixy type concept. And in that case, you have to work on discovery rather than... So it's not about broadcast schedules, but it's about being able to surface the things that you think people might want to watch. Excuse me.
Yeah. And whether we like it or not, we are turning into the kind of older folk, and there's a different generation there that are sitting there saying, yeah, that's how we want to do it.
We've said before how many of these new TVs, or all the new TVs, are all smart hubs, and they're all much, much easier to use now, to the extent that, you know, you do have, a lot of people will have iPlayer in the lounge, and therefore it is just another channel in. And as long as you make the technology to access it nice and straightforward, that's all you need, really.
I do wonder if we are going to get to the point where we won't necessarily have channels anymore that are broadcasting things at set times. You'll just have a set of, you know, you'll probably have your news channels constantly streaming and Sky Sports constantly streaming, but then everything else apart from live events like sport are just available.
With the amount of extra, even, you know, on a Skybox, the amount of connectivity now that's needed to give it its full features on its on-demand and its catch-up and its box sets and all those things. Yes, I think we're going to get there. I think there's still a demand, though, for having a schedule, someone defining a channel. No,
I agree. But I think, I mean, most of the... I mean, I will hardly watch any dramas live now. I just out of principle, I will not watch it because it's a waste of my time because of the adverts.
Yeah, because it's nice to be able to forward through them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't see it disappearing in our lifetimes completely, and I know that's hopefully a long way. I still think there is that ride, but I think it may well change that schedule is now an artificial schedule not based on signals, you know, coming from satellites, but from the internet. I think you could see the delivery change to that. So artificially keeping that in place, but I do see it being that, you know, you don't have to watch it at the times they specified. It's just an additional option.
I know there's lots of rumors that Sky, when it's talking about 4K, might be over IP only. It just they can't get the
bandwidth. We need their internet to move on a bit, though, don't we?
Yeah. Well, I noticed today, I didn't put it in the notes because it was American based, but the FCC in America have now defined 25 meg as broadband.
Right, okay.
So, and that seemingly hacks off one of the big providers there, like a Time Warner or whatever, because their minimum is 10, and it seemingly gets throttled like mad, and it might not be Time Warner. I don't really bother to keep up with that. But yeah, but seemingly it's the FCC are saying, no, if you want to class yourself as in a broadband service, I think it was 25 down and 4 up.
And that number has to keep moving as technology moves on.
Absolutely.
And especially if we do want things like TV come down over our wires.
If you want 4K, for example, like good 4K, not horrible.
We're never going to get good 4K.
I don't know. I live in hope.
All right. Okay. Tesco is pulling out pulling out the Blink box. They bought that not too long ago. And basically they pushed it, especially alongside their Huddle. And now they're moving out of that market again. Which did seem an uncomfortable fit from an everyday punter's perspective, all this e-stuff that they got going on with.
They went into books, went into videos. I think the only successful thing was a Huddle tablet, and a lot of it was all around. They seemed to be almost trying to position themselves as, hold on, Amazon's a big shop and they're doing all these digital services, we need to do the same.
Yes.
So all these streaming services and we'll start selling a tablet. And the tablet was successful. But the rest wasn't.
I mean, their stores nowadays, now that you get the mezzanines on a lot of their big stores, and the upstairs is all dedicated to electronics and gadgetry and stuff like that. So maybe they were pushing in that direction, but it didn't seem to fit. It doesn't fit with the bricks and mortar as well, because devices in that you buy from a shop cost more than it does online. And Amazon's obviously not bricks and mortar. So I guess they were going for, you know, we've got a friendly name, a popular name, which isn't so popular now because all their tax management.
I know they're making still a lot of money, but they're in trouble compared to maybe where they used to be. Maybe that was worth the punt, because if it had taken off, we would have been saying bravo, well done, that was the right thing to do. But it, for whatever reason, it didn't.
And I think Tesco shares are still a good thing. I know that they've bounced back a bit now, unfortunately, but they went, for me, they're not yet out of the water just because they reported a bit higher profit than they actually got.
No, but I think they're doing the kind of, it looks like they're doing, on the surface, looks like they're doing the right things, getting back to what
they're consolidating. Yeah.
You know, let's kill off the, you know, I think, what was it, 40 stores, and also these digital services, which can't compete with Netflix and Amazon's and iTunes and Google, kill it.
Yep. And so that's what they're doing. Sky Movies.
Sky Moves.
Clear my eyes. Yes, Moves. So Sky is going to offer phone contracts as well, through O2, basically. So as well as TV, broadband and landlines, they are going to be able to offer the fourth element, which is the mobile packages.
And I don't think, did we talk about this? Because I didn't put it in the show notes at all, because nothing's officially been announced. But basically, BT are looking to be buying EE. And it looks like Plucky Little 3 is actually going to be the biggest player because they're going to buy O2.
Yeah, we did mention briefly that there were moves to consolidate everything. But yes, it's all, there were, again, it was all on the kind of national news, how these, you know, these massive companies that we're creating in the mobile industry is just not good for competition, basically.
And I mean, Vodafone, which is the biggest, will be the smallest.
Yes, it will suddenly ping to being the smallest. Yeah, which is bizarre, isn't it? Mean these combines will be successful, because Three obviously has its own defined customer, and it's very, very different from the customers of EE.
Absolutely. I mean, Three were much more data focused, and almost saying we'll give you a lot more flexibility with data than anybody else would.
Yep.
But their coverage was never great. So it'll be interesting to see whether you just end up with a blend of everything. So it's just much of a muchness.
Well, also three's mobile network was based on a different technology. It was the lower of the 4Gs, if you like. So the differences of 4G and the bands that were available. Three had the lowest of the low, really, the one that didn't penetrate very far, all those kind of things. Whereas EE were renowned for having one of the stronger bands. So it is a good combination potentially, but it doesn't help the customer, I don't think, in consumer. TalkTalk has put in place its porn filter choice. So you basically have to make a decision. And if you don't, then you will be have subject to filtering. So that we're just hearing that. All of them are coming out and saying that now, right?
Yeah. So I'm guessing between now and probably what sort of March, I guess it'll all be out the way before the elections. They'll all just say, yeah, we're aligned with government policy. And they're all set. BT and Virgin are the only ones not to reveal what they're going to do about this automatic filters. TalkTalk have had filters for ages, and they reckon it was some scary figure. They reckon 95% have already decided to activate in some way, which is a lot more than others. Others would all say it was like 30% and stuff. So
all right. So when they say 95%, they are talking about people activating filters, so actually restricting themselves in some way rather than they just made their choice.
No. What they've said is 95% have made their choice. So they've not actually said that 95% have said, yes, I want to have the filters on. But the other ones were saying like 30% have made a decision, whereas the rest haven't done anything.
Yes, right. Okay, get you.
So it seems strange.
And it was TalkTalk came out first and did, I think they probably did go round. Well, they've had just longer to get round to everyone, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's more aggressive. Maybe it's in your face. By the way, there's this filter choice here and you need to do this now.
And they've only talked about these big ISPs. So on smaller ones, still not being sort of discussed what they do. I certainly haven't heard anything from my provider Zen about what they're doing on this. So I don't know how far and wide it goes. But I guess by capturing the TalkTalk and the... And BT, you capture most of the market, right?
I just feel I should say with annoying grin, mines haven't been blocked.
Yeah, so we'll see. DJI, drone maker, is having to update the firmware of their software since one of their drones crashed in the White House. There is a official no-fly zone around Washington, especially around the White House, and drone didn't sort of cater for this. So apparently their software already catered for airports and places of known interest, and so now they're just also not allowing you to fly around Washington.
Yes.
Which is a bummer if you're a little kid and you just have a little drone. The thing is, it's not a little one, is it? It's quite an expensive big one. So.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of popular one that crashed was seemingly it was some drunk, I think they're basically based in a drunk White Houser or something, or somebody that worked nearby that crashed it. The FBI put a photo up as if, look, it's a drone. Everybody's like, it's a DJI. That's the most popular drone out there. There's thousands of them. I was going to start to see like hacked versions of firmware, you know, because
well, I guess so.
You know, because some folk are going to say, this is rubbish. I always want to fly what I want. I'll build my own. I'll have my own firmware.
Yeah. I mean, certainly if you're in Washington, you're not going to get an Amazon package drop, are you?
No.
Never mind.
I was actually amazed because I was in Washington just before Christmas, and the amount of like low-flying helicopters that are around is mental. It's just like, this is...
Following car chases.
No, it was all
chasing the weather.
It was all like Hueys and nonsense and stuff flying into the White House. And White House is in pictures looks like it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's in the city centre. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like all of a sudden you'll be looking at some memorial and you just hear this big Huey blade and you look round and there it is flying over the river, at low level, in and out. And you're like, that's nice. I want to be on that. Maybe it's just me.
Sony has axed its PlayStation Music Unlimited service in favour of a Spotify deal. So they are taking off their own thing and basically allowing you to put Spotify playlists behind your games now. I think that's the idea, right?
Yeah. I guess we talked about it with Tesco. Looks like Sony are doing the same thing and saying this isn't working. Spotify is massive. Let's do the deal with them. So... it'll be closing over the next couple of months, and the kind of pricing will be revealed later. They've not talked about, you know, if you're a current subscriber or if there's some sort of deal they're going to do to say that if you, you know, if you subscribe through your Sony platform, you get it a bit cheaper or you get it a bit different. But you can you know, you'll be able to do like, you know, Drive Club or whatever, and just pick a Spotify playlist and play. So I'm sure you'll see a little bit of a takeoff in gamer related playlists and people putting that together. It's very, very nice.
But there's no set that, you know, you would, yeah, it depends what deal they've got at the end of the day, doesn't it? But $9.99 a month to do that. If you're already a Spotify subscriber, then of course you'd apply it.
It's great. And I think that's for a lot of people, because if you're already there, I mean, a lot of people, and you're a Spotify subscriber. So
yeah, but I'm not the full fat subscriber. Ah, I'm the only the web app. Only the desktop app, basically.
Yeah, so I guess the bill's detail, isn't it then? So I guess we just need to wait and see when the final announcement
is. $10 a month is quite a lot, really.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the end of our news.
But then it's a price CD.
Yeah, but I don't buy a CD a month. That's the thing, and that's how the music industry is ticking along, whatever. But yeah, that's the whole idea. But it's still, you know, £120 a month, isn't it? A year, sorry. That's the end of our news. Have we got a pick? I haven't got a pick today, unfortunately.
No, I haven't got a pick.
And if Audio Hijack Pro starts working, then we can choose that.
But let's hold it for another couple of weeks. I actually got Alfred remote came out yesterday, and that looks lovely. I've already set a few things up and it works great. So if that works for the week, I don't like doing picks that I've not actually done.
Yeah, you want to try them all out, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we're half an hour in and you're going to the gym. So let's call it a day.
Whoop, whoop. Okay, if you want to find out more about what we do, who we are, what we talk about, digitaloutbox.com is the website. You can talk to us, info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're on Twitter as digitaloutbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. And you can follow my racing antics at academyracer.co.uk. Ian, we can find you.
I am Twittering at Shweeper, and I am blogging at iand.net.
Perfect. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening. We will talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Ta-ra. Thank you.